Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Five defensive backs for the Vikings. Deep drop for Stroud. Step and throw, and it's intercepted. Cameron Bynum with a pick. Stroud said, that one's on me.
It was. He stunk. The offensive line wasn't great. The penalties were even worse, but that was a bad day for C.J. Stroud. The Texans' offense has looked rather sloppy to open up the year. They've been settling for a lot of 50-yard field goals. They continuously find themselves in third and very long situations. Let's call third and long, third and 7+. 3-for-6 against the Colts, but 1-for-7 against Chicago. 3-for-11 yesterday with 2 conversions actually called back by penalties. And you just look at this team after a 34-7 loss and you realize, yes, it's just one game. But the question I have, Joe, is this just one L or is this a symptom of bigger problems?
I'm going to say until they prove to all of us that it's not, it's going to be a symptom of bigger problems.
How do they prove that it's not?
Let's start with the false starts.
Okay.
Let's start there. Like, let's go back to last week where it was more fun to talk about. Where it was like, hey, which one time will Laremy Tunsil jump offside?
Because you know it's coming. Everyone knows it's coming at some point. It's just a matter of when. But
One's okay.
Three, and then 2 illegal formations on top of that, which are related to how he cheats and false starts a lot. He gets away with it from time to time, too.
Yeah, he definitely does.
They made an emphasis on it, and he was acting like the referees were focusing too hard on him. Yeah, dude, you're a repeat offender. How many times have you been had a false start thrown against you over the course of your career when you've been penalized 10 times in 3 games?
What do you think the number is since 2019? If you had to just guess.
False starts?
Yeah, for Tunsil.
I'm going to guess 1 per game, so I'm going to guess 3 million.
Like, it's got to be,
you know,
close to 60 since 2019?
If the over-under is 45, I'm taking the over. Over 5 years, I'm taking the over. Just think about that.
Yeah, you just got to pencil them in for like once a game.
Yeah.
And then actually, you might even do like more than 1 a game.
Yeah.
If you're just doing rough math.
If you're being nice, you just say 1 a game. You're being nice. You're being generous. Laremy Tunsil's the best left tackle in the NFL, I've been told.
He's the 71st best player in the NFL, according to the other players. But also,
and he's like, mad about not getting All-Pro honors.
Well, this is probably why.
It should be why.
Like, it's a huge part of why.
It's a good enough reason for me.
Does Trent Williams jump off sides, false start like this?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know.
I'm assuming the answer is no.
I mean, he's played in so many big games and Super Bowls with the 49ers. I feel like we would know if that was the book on Trent Williams the way it is the book on Laremy Tunsil.
But when you look at last year and what this team went through and some of the losses that they've had, they were some ugly losses in there. Mm-hmm. The Jets lost, the Browns lost, the Ravens lost to start the season. So until they don't have another loss like this, I'm going to believe it's going to happen again. At least one more time this season. And you play some really good football teams. We've talked about the schedule. But you can't have this level of performance in 2 weeks. I mean, October 6th is going to be a big game for the Texans. Like, the Buffalo Bills are a good team. We're going to see that tonight on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, the next two Texans opponents are playing tonight.
Yeah.
0-2 Jaguars, then the Buffalo Bills, who are 2-0 right now.
Like, you can't play like this against this quality of opponent. And for now, we have to give Minnesota the benefit of the doubt that they're 3-0 and they're good. Mm. Like, they've beaten the 49ers and the Texans. Well, we've all put the 49ers and the Texans in a Super Bowl potential category. So I think we, like, by default, have to put Minnesota there for a little bit.
So, C.J. Stroud is the quarterback of the Houston Texans. And after the game, he was asked about the loss. And he did keep things in context. I'm curious as to how people feel about his answers. First of many answers that were in the same vein. He says it's just week three.
Week three is no time to, you know, point the finger or, you know, or separate. It's only time to come together. That's the most thing that matters. We stay together. We don't care about the outside noise. We know everybody's probably going to turn their back on us. We know our fans are going to stay loyal. So, you know, it is what it is. We know what we're going to be, and we're going to, you know, continue to go through the lumps that everybody goes through during the year at some point, and we're glad it's happening now.
I'm going to hold my hand up here. A little annoyed with that one. A little annoyed with this. Well, everyone's going to doubt us. Yeah, they should. I mean, that was awful. Two, our fans are going to stay loyal. I don't know if they should have to. After a performance like that, I could totally get second guessing.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're all going to turn on us. Well, you lost 34-7, and you played one of the worst games you've ever played. I mean, you got dominated in every facet of this game, offense, defense, and special teams. If people are going to be frustrated and bail, I don't think there's any reason to blame them.
Yeah, this is a fan base that bails. No one bails like Texans fans. They bail.
Yeah.
They are like, oh, damn, what's that guy's name with the wig in Titanic? You know who I'm talking about?
Billy Zane?
They're like Billy Zane, the Titanic, Texans fans. One sign of trouble, I'm finding a child, I'm getting on that raft.
Yeah.
F you women, F you children, I'm out of here. They are. I mean, they were 0-3 in 2018 to open the year. They won 9 in a row. People were like, whatever. Out.
I'm just saying, Billy Zane survives.
He does, until he shoots himself in the head. But that was like 15 years later.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or 20. Yeah, yeah. There's like a random side note where she's like, then he put a pistol in his head on the mouth.
I must have missed. I've watched that movie so many times, I've never noticed that one.
Great Depression.
Because his wife is obviously in love with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not that in love. I mean, like, hey, could have moved
like
over.
2 days.
Could have moved over.
It was a fling. And she's still now, what, 70 years later, still looks back on it very fondly.
Very convenient way to end the fling by not allowing enough space for the poor boy to get on the board. You know, we talk about Jenny being a terrible person. In Forrest Gump, we talk about Adrian being a terrible wife. In Rocky, we're not going to talk about Rose also just throwing generational wealth for her family into the bottom of the ocean at the very end because of some fling she had with some poor boy.
Mm.
She used him for his body. Was he underage? Probably.
He looked it.
Hashtag cancel Rose. Anyway, bring it back. Sorry. Speaking of the Titanic, the Texans, am I right?
Ooh.
Here's more CJ Stroud after the game.
I smile, you know. Realize, I mean, we're still very, very talented. We're still a force to be reckoned with, and we're still very dangerous. You know, it's nothing to, you know, I mean, I always use this quote by Nick Tesla, just never let a hard time humble you, you know. I mean, like, all the way to zero. You know, you learn and you have some humility, but you don't let it take you back to square one or square zero. And we built a foundation solid on rock, you know. So we're not going to act like, you know, everything was perfect out there, but we're not going to act like there wasn't some positives. And once we fix the negatives, I mean, we're going to be rolling. So I'm excited, man, because the only way we can go now is up. So, you know, I'm very grateful and blessed that we did get our tails whooped today and, you know, something to learn from. And, you know, I'm glad it happened early. Now it's time to go to work. All right, man.
Grateful and blessed that we got our tails whooped.
Okay. I like the spin zone here.
That is,
I mean,
quite
it's a crazy spin zone. I mean, he's right.
I mean, look, you need this from your leader to just act completely calm after something like this to turn the page.
Yeah,
because this is one of those losses where you really can't do anything except for turn the page. There's a lot of things they have to work on, but I mean, You don't want to let this thing linger.
Yeah, I mean, it's way better than throwing up your hands in disgust on the sidelines because your defense fails to stop a team on third down.
Who's that?
Even though, CJ Stroud only did that in this game a couple times. They kept showing the camera on him. He'd go, ugh, when they gave up a third down five conversion.
I missed
it's like,
that.
That's weird. Maybe the offense should move the ball. Stop getting frustrated with the defense. But, like, he's right. It can only go up from here. But how good does it have to go to have confidence that this isn't just going to happen again? Like, they got to stomp Buffalo in 2 weeks? Even I think I got to wait for at least one more good team.
I don't know that style points are going to do it, but it's just, look, these things have been happening for 3 weeks. So let's fix that. And it happened last year, too, from the 281. Something needs to change, or this will not be a one-time thing. I think DeMeco is a great head coach, but this does not look like a well-coached football team. Well, then you can't call him a great coach. And I think great is a strong word to call DeMeco. I think DeMeco's good, and I like where they're going with him. But the penalty thing is a big issue. And I think the way that DeMeco Ryans, in particular, handles Laremy Tunsil this week is going to be really interesting. They're not going to bench him. So how do you get him to realize, like, hey, man, you think you're being victimized here, but you have been doing this your whole career? Because he has been doing it his whole career. And again, I'm not studying the tape. I'm not calling out Tunsil as a bad player or anything like that. I saw a lot of people saying cut Tunsil. No, you're not doing that. It's not happening. So let's get back into the real world here. But he does need to be reflective about it. And it's seemingly clear that he hasn't been. And it's also clear that they have let him get away with a lot for a while.
And I don't know how, like, what you do to change it. Like, what,
yeah, I don't
find
either.
Him $100,000 every false start.
Do a suicide. Do a like the running up and down the field, not actual. Push-ups.
Well, he doesn't practice, so he can't do that one. What is the punishment for Laremy Tunsil? You take his C away. I don't. No offense, doesn't seem like a guy that would care. Like, if you took his captainship away, like how do you stop this? You don't, because he thinks that what he's doing is not wrong. And that's what makes it almost impossible, is that since 2019, the quotes we read earlier, when he said he was being attacked in 2019, and he said it again this week, and he's being targeted, Laremy is convinced he's in the right, and the NFL officials are the ones in the wrong. And I don't know how you stop that.
It's because maybe he's always felt like people are out to get him ever since the gas mask bong incident.
Wouldn't blame him for that if that was the
case. Yeah, that was an ultimate betrayal. I would think the world's out to get me after that too.
Wasn't it his stepdad or something?
I think it was.
It or something.
It was his stepdad.
Well, yeah. That might be worse.
Or maybe ex agent. It was something like that. It was
someone bitter. Someone. Yeah. Oh, man, what an that is an a-hole. And also, I for science purposes, of course, I'm not a derelict. I'm not a ruffian, but I would like to see how that mask works for scientific research purposes.
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
Do you think he busted out before the game yesterday? That's why he was...
Maybe after.
Didn't know where to line
no,
up?
No, I feel like he just wouldn't move at all if he had done it before the game. You know, maybe he was a little bit too on edge with that crowd being as loud as it was.
Then he needs it. He needs to do it before the game.
Maybe. Damn you, NFL, making that illegal. It is Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. You got Sean behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. I think the Texans have a Bobby Slowick problem. I'm going to highlight that with a couple of pieces of audio. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Fake the handoff. Stroud gets crushed. It is Grenard with revenge on his mind.
And in this league, it is rare. Even the best pass-blocking tight ends, it's tough for them to handle the best edge rushers. Look to the left of your screen, Grenard. He's going to go work over the rookie, Cade Stover from Ohio State, and he goes right through his chest, gets him off balance, runs him over, and then takes down C.J. Stroud. You better have a legitimate left tackle, right tackle, blocking your best edge rushers. Loss of 10 on the play.
That's why I think Charles Davis is the best color commentator in the NFL. hit it right on the head. When you saw Grenard sack Stroud at first, you thought, man, Jonathan Grenard, he was really good with the Texans. I'm sure he just made a really good move on Laremy Tunsil coming off of the left side. He had rookie tight end Cade Stover blocking him, and he ran straight through Cade Stover for the sack. So that's one place to look at and say, does Bobby Slowick know what he's doing? Want a little more? Joe, after the game, Jonathan Grenard was asked a very interesting question.
How do you feel when you see a tight end in front of you trying to block you one-on-one?
Hey, man, like I said, I'm glad I'm here in Minnesota, man, because obviously they respect me, dog. So anybody else want to do that, hey, they can try. So it don't matter who you line up in front of me, but if you line somebody up like that, it got to happen. So, yeah.
I'm glad I'm in Minnesota because they respect me. By the way, he had two more sacks on the game.
Yeah, I mean, now to be fair, D'Amico probably respects Jonathan Grenard. But D'Amico should be telling his offense coordinator, hey, that's a bad idea. Like Bobby, do you think that teams put tight ends on Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson? I'm going to guess the answer to that is no. It's like, it's just, it is disrespectful and it's stupid.
You could argue Stover should at the very least not get pancaked. And if he doesn't get pancaked, maybe Stroud's able to get that ball off down the seam to, I think, Dalton Schultz, who might have been open. But come on, you're asking a rookie tight end to block a pass rusher who had, what, 12 and a half sacks last year?
Yes, who's also only been playing tight end since 2021 and played defense before that.
Yeah.
Like, of all the tight ends to do it.
We don't think of Stover as a blocker.
Yeah, I know they're using him as a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one thing to be on a running play and try to block a linebacker, but to be one-on-one with a guy of that caliber, like Jonathan Grenard, is just, it's malpractice.
But that's just one play. Paul, surely there's not more audio that's an indictment of Bobby Slowick's performance as offensive coordinator yesterday in Minneapolis. Well, here's C.J. Stroud when he was asked if the Vikings' defense threw complicated things at them.
They kind of did exactly what we thought. Played a lot of too high, a lot of taking away our passing game, and then they would either blitz the edge and try to stop the run on a certain down. They did a lot of things that we thought we were doing. We just, you know, weren't moving quick enough. We weren't executing. We weren't playing hard enough. You know, it starts with me.
They didn't see anything that they weren't prepared for.
I mean, that's almost worse.
They knew this was coming.
That's almost worse. Sorry, let me rephrase that. That's worse. Not almost. You knew exactly what they're going to do. You have no answer. You got to have an answer.
Never came up with any adjustments over the course of that game. And, I mean, this is an offensive line that has $188 million invested in its five starters. It is a receiver core that has arguably a top five wide receiver in Nico Collins.
Mm-hmm.
A guy in Stephon Diggs who did play very well. Has Tank Dell. Has Dalton Schultz. Even if there's no Joe Mixon out there. Bobby Slowick has a lot of things to work with. And I know earlier in the show we were talking about how maybe Nick Caserio wasn't very good evaluating these offensive linemen. And that could be it. But the other part of it is Bobby Slowick's, these are his offensive linemen. And they are all healthy for a change. And once again, this team can't run the football. What was it, 14 carries for 38 yards?
Yeah, it was tough.
This team can't protect the quarterback. C.J. Stroud gets sacked four times. Davis Mills gets sacked once as well, so five sacks. Stroud's on pace to get sacked 62 times this season, which is a David Carr-esque number. And I thought going into the year that Bobby Slowick was going to be leaving the Texans for a head coaching gig somewhere. I was talking about this with a Houston media member off the air. This person said, oh, all the aggregator accounts said that the Texans should perhaps make sure to move on from D'Amico Ryan so that Bobby Slowick never leaves.
Yeah, it's stupid.
To keep the offensive-minded guy instead of the defensive-minded guy who also has pelts on the wall in the NFL. Slowick might be a victim of being a part of this eclectic group of football scholars from the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. Mm-hmm. So everyone assumes that he is this brilliant football mind because he's been around it. But I'm looking at Bobby Slowik right now, and I see just another coordinator. I don't think he's bad, but I think a lot of us were pumping the bleep out of his tires when last year he was working with a quarterback who had a historic rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two things I don't want to hear going forward from this 34-7 debacle on. Number one, I don't want to hear that Laremy Tunsil's the best left tackle in the NFL until he cleans up the false start thing. Number two, I don't want to hear about Bobby Slowik as a head coaching candidate. Even if he gets hired, I don't want to hear about it. They have way too much to work with for the struggles that they have to continue to happen. They find themselves in third and long situations so much. 3 for 6 and 3rd and 7 plus against Indy. That's not bad. 1 for 7 against Chicago. 3 for 11 against the Vikings yesterday. And how are they getting into these third and long situations? It's not just the penalties. It's not just the sacks. It's also that they're not able to run the football. And there's only been one time, Joe Mixon against the Colts, who apparently have a bad run defense, where this team has looked balanced on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they couldn't run it. This year, they can't run it. How does that not fall back on Bobby Slowik ultimately? And let's ease up with the praise, the putting of Bobby on a pedestal that we've been doing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I've been lowest. I think I've been the lowest on Bobby Slowik compared to most people. I got to be dragged last year during a Twitter poll that got put up when I said that Bobby Slowik had the lowest approval rating on the Texans. So then Jeremy responded to that when I was producing their show and put up this poll that said, do you hope Bobby Slowik is the Texans offensive coordinator in 2024?
He's got so much trauma with that.
Oh, no, I'm just pointing out that I've been an anti Bobby guy for a while.
and
then 91% of the people who voted in this poll said yes, and I feel a little vindicated through three games. I'm not going to lie. Like, I just don't see it. I don't see it. I do something. I go back to Nick Caserio as well. Like, you address the running game. Joe Mixon was a good signing. But you knew running backs get hurt. And you knew it wasn't going to work with Damian Pierce last year. And we said, when we started doing the show, right as the offseason was hitting, that they needed to get two running backs this offseason. Well, they got two, but one of them is Cam Akers. And, like, there are good running backs like Zach Moss, who got $4 million from the Bengals. There are guys who've had success in this league who are going for cheap. J.K. Dobbins is going off for the Chargers. You know, like, you have these guys who could have been Texans. You brought in Joe Mixon, which was a good move, but you didn't get the second guy. And that's what kind of got exposed in this game again. And, like, I'm not, like, I'm all for hearing about Bobby Slowik being a head coach, so he's not the OC here next year. Like, go for it, man.
Elevate Gerard Johnson.
Yeah, I just don't see it. Like, when you have no answers to a test, but you know what they should be going in, it's very concerning. Like, it's how do you know exactly what they're going to do and then just fail to execute that poorly? It happening against Baltimore in the playoffs, and now it's happening in this game. It happening in the Jets game. You know exactly what they're going to do. You have no answers. Like, you got to find some answers in a tough football game. He seems to not be able to do that.
To quote Hank Hill, damn it, Bobby. I can't do a very good Hank Hill impersonation, but maybe we need to get that as a drop. Someone on the text line texted that in. Damn it, Bobby. Because, it's not looking so good on that front. Anyway, yeah, they lost. 34-7. Not good. 2-1. Let's take a look around the NFL. Surely worse things happened to teams with expectations. It wasn't just the Texans who stunk it up yesterday, right? Stick around. We got the 10-minute drill next. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975 and they will double your initial deposit. Two Monday Night Football games tonight. First, at 6:30, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road against the Buffalo Bills. Bills are 5.5-point favorites at home. Texans are playing the Jaguars this coming Sunday. They're playing the Bills the Sunday after that. It's going to be interesting to watch that. I do say I feel pretty comfortable picking the Bills to cover here. I don't really have any respect for the Jaguars. Wouldn't it be something else if
the only two 0-3 teams in the NFL were both in the AFC South. Titans are one of those teams. What if the Jaguars join them? There's also another game tonight. The Cincinnati Bengals, 0-2, taking on the Washington Commanders. I mean, the Bengals can't start 0-3, right? Right? They're 7.5-point favorites against the Commies. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 is how you sign up. They're going to double your initial deposit right away. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Yes, the Texans stunk yesterday. 34-7 they lose. Dreams of an undefeated season. Bye-bye. Mercury Morris would have been happy about that. A tear would have come to his eye. At 77 years old, he passed away yesterday. The Miami Dolphins legend, who was really a legend because he was the chirpiest about the 17-0 1972 Dolphins. There were lots of other games across the NFL yesterday. I think the interesting thing to note in a league with as much parity as the NFL is that right now there are just four 3-0 teams. The Vikings, the Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champions, the Seahawks, and the Justin Fields-led Pittsburgh Steelers, Joe George.
Yeah, Justin's looked really good yesterday. That was the first of the three games. It's the one where he actually looked like a real quarterback.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
Did nice the Bears made a mistake moving on from him?
Wrong.
Why not?
Because he's not doing challenging things.
Mm.
He's also in an organization that's not incompetent. So I'm happy for him.
You're happy for him?
I'm happy for
Justin. I don't think you're happy for him. I think you're hoping he fails.
No, I don't want him to fail. I want Trubisky to fail. I love
Mitch Trubisky is never going to play football again.
I know. I love Justin Fields, so I don't want Justin to fail.
You loved Justin Fields.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I hope he has success in Pittsburgh. Okay. It'll make me sad. But also, shout out ATX Hobo Girl, one of our favorite listeners, Dez. She's a Steelers fan.
She's a Steelers fan.
So I wish the best for her.
I don't. I hate the Steelers. I hate their fans. And the Patriots owned your ass for 20 years.
That they did.
Suck it.
I have no feelings towards the Steelers, so.
I do. But good for them. Good for them. I can't wait till they have a quarterback controversy with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, which they might have if Wilson is eventually healthy. I'm curious as to how they play it. Yeah, Fields, you can't bench him with the way that they're winning right now. More big games across the NFL. The Ravens were up 28-6 on the Cowboys. Dallas rallied and still lost 28-25.
And CeeDee Lamb looked angry on the sidelines.
Whole Cowboys team looked angry. I mean, you had after the game, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons suggesting that there were players on the Cowboys who were doing too much. And we all know Jerry Jones is doing too much. Did you see what Jerry Jones was doing in an Instagram Live with Jamie Foxx?
Yep.
He was talking about the scouting reports of his players. I'm surprised by how detailed those scouting reports are. Because we're not just talking about 40 times. We're not just talking verticals.
Yep.
We're not just talking length. Well, we are talking length.
Yeah,
my bad. We are talking length in a variety of ways, including one way that you would not expect it. What do you think Jamie Foxx was thinking when all of a sudden Jerry Jones started talking about wiener size?
Yeah, it came of inches.
How long were you waiting to drop that one?
A while.
You just plop that on the table.
As soon as you started.
I can't believe that he did that. He was so casual doing it.
Wait, you can't believe that he
did
that?
With Jamie Foxx?
It's very believable that Jerry Jones.
Thankfully, he said that because then after the game, talking about how they couldn't afford Derrick Henry, like, one outweighs the other, I guess.
He 100% was walked in after the loss and was like, I need to say something more inflammatory that people are talking about. This. I need to bury the talking about players' meat sizes story. I need to come up with something that will get at least local media off my back. And so, yeah, he dropped the, couldn't afford Derrick Henry. And so, locally in Dallas, they're all upset about that. The first
one
we
remember the Jamie Foxx Instagram Live.
I'd rather have people talk about the Jamie Foxx Instagram Live than also, like, did he just not know that they were live and Jamie was just like,
yeah, I don't think he knew.
Jamie tried to bail him out.
Yeah, he tried.
I mean, Jamie stopped the Instagram Live.
Too late, though. There's no dump button on that.
Way too late. You probably...
I don't think Jerry knew.
This is a should be a learning moment for anyone near Jerry Jones. Probably shouldn't be live.
Hey.
Probably shouldn't be live and uncensored at any time.
How about if you're 50-plus, just don't do Instagram Live? Shannon Sharp.
Is Jamie Foxx 50?
Jerry Jones.
Well, Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is probably close.
Yeah, he probably is.
I bet Jamie Foxx is 49 years old right now.
56.
56? Wow. Damn. Yeah, so he's Shannon Sharp's age. Instagram Live, guys. It just doesn't work out so well.
Retire from the Instagram Live
guys
game?
Guys, if you're 50-plus, it's just, okay. It ain't for you.
I'll tell my dad.
The Saints were the best team in the NFL. And then they lost 15-12 to the Nick Sirianni-led Philadelphia Eagles.
Another ugly football game.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Not a lot of great football this weekend. Just really. If the few anti-NFL people out there right now.
No,
world,
don't give them any ammo.
Should feel a little justified.
No, they shouldn't.
Because, my
God. It's the beautiful game. You just don't appreciate defense.
When does the good football start?
The good football is now. These are the good football games. What are you talking about?
I mean, some confidence on offense would be.
No, awesome. No. It's a defensive game. God, you people, your fantasy football. Oh, wide receiver one, running back one. Like, you people are ruining it.
Yeah, no, but I don't even feel
I want
like,
violence.
I don't even think, like, the defenses are causing bad offense. I just think it's bad offense. Like if it was.
No, it's good defense.
If this was, like, the Ravens in the early 2000s where they were just punishing everyone and causing all the problems, I'm like, yeah. It's just. Bad
no,
quarterback.
No,
play.
You're wrong. You're wrong, and I don't like you right
you're
now.
You're right. You know I'm wrong?
Why?
Because Andy Dalton was balling.
Andy
this
Dalton no. is the greatest quarterback in the NFL.
Andy Dalton's proof that there were bad quarterbacks. He replaced one of them. No. Bryce Young was terrible.
And Andy Dalton gave you the offense that you were looking for. But yeah. you clearly hate redheaded people. Racist.
I think I can like.
What if I had red hair?
I mean, I think I'm allowed to hate redheaded.
What? Whoa!
Racism has no place in this world, Joe.
No, it doesn't.
I think there's
enough. They need to paint the end zone.
I think there's enough red tint, enough ginger in the facial hair here that I qualify.
So you hate yourself? That's even more unhealthy.
No, I just think
racism.
I'm 1/16th ginger, actually. Yeah, I can tell you.
E.C. Elizabeth Warren.
I'm allowed to hate the Irish, the short, and the ginge.
Don't shorten it, please.
Yeah, that sounded...
That made me uncomfortable.
Same here. But not as uncomfortable as Jamie Foxx felt talking ramble-lamma-ding-dongs with Jerry Jones.
Well, my real question is, I need to go listen to it again, honestly. What led to that conversation?
Who hasn't talked about wiener size like, with a celebrity that they barely know?
I feel like if you let Jerry Jones talk for long enough, it'll come up. I honestly think that most conversations in there.
The AFC South. Not good. Colts did win yesterday, 21-16 over the Bears. Were you impressed by the Colts?
No.
So this was a Bears shooting themselves in the foot kind of loss.
Yeah, they made some bad mistakes. Terrible play calling.
They tunseled and slow-icked it up.
I mean, the Texans didn't have the ball on the 3-yard line and run it 4 times, the last one being a speed option, which is what the Bears did. That was very bad. Very, very bad.
Well, it's fun to run the speed option in the college football video game.
Yeah, I don't think most people in the college football video game would run it on 4th and 2 on the goal line.
Because I have chutzpah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You also might have an athletic, like a super athletic quarterback when you do it. No, the Colts were not impressive. Okay. Yeah, they got their first win of the season, but they were not impressive. Anthony Richardson was 10 for 20 with 2 picks.
By the way, you barely beat the Colts week 1. Just saying. Like the Texans have yet to do anything impressive.
And you barely beat the Bears?
Mm-hmm. That don't impress on me much. Well, so you beat the Colts and Bears, and then you got smoked by the Vikings. The Titans are the league's only 0-3 team as things currently stand, though there might be one joining them tonight. Because Monday Night Football, you got a doubleheader. The 0-2 Jaguars in Buffalo taking on the Bills. The 1-1 Commanders taking on the 0-2 Bengals in Cincinnati.
Bengals 0-3 is what you're saying?
I think the Bengals win. I think the Bills win.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the Jaguars will be joining them, and perhaps this is wishful thinking, but one Jaguars fan dared to question C.J. Stroud, who, you know what, had a bad game, and who to this point in the year has not really been looking like the top five quarterback we want. He's had some moments, that's for sure, but he's been getting hit a lot, and there's a lot of third and long situations, and he's not able to get out of all of them. Not a lot of touchdown passes to this point, but I'm sorry, if you're a Jaguars fan and you are looking at a play where C.J. Stroud's evading pressure and running for his life, and you are trying to talk about how C.J. Stroud is unimpressive, sir, I will point to Trevor Lawrence, his medieval page boy hair, and his consistent never living up to the expectations that everyone put on him. And then I will say to you, and I quote, now go get your bleeping shine box. To quote the guy who ends up dying in Goodfellas, Billy Betts. R.I.P. It's a great line.
It is a great line.
Great way to get yourself killed, but a great way, great last thing to say.
Yeah, it's a very good scene. I think it's one of my favorites in the movie. Besides the prison scene is number one, though. It says he's narrating them cutting the garlic.
You gotta shave the garlic.
That's always the best.
Do you have any Italian friends?
I do.
Okay. I have a couple of Italian friends, like Italian American friends. These people are obsessed with food. Like,
yeah, you gotta shave the garlic with a razor. You gotta shave the garlic.
Like when talking about food, like, what are you talking about? They remember this part specifically because they think because they watched a couple of mobsters in the movie Goodfellas cooking in a kitchen, they think that like they're just like God's gift to cooking.
Next time they say it, say okay, you do it.
No, I will.
Let's go to your house. You shave some garlic.
I would challenge any Italian-American. I would challenge any of them. Try to outdo my bolognese, a.k.a. polonaise sauce. Mm. Try to outdo it from scratch. I will F you up.
Some polonaise?
Mm-hmm.
Probably bringing lunch soon? That sounds great. I want to try it.
No.
Try some polonaise.
No. I don't want to do that. This is only for certain special people, you know?
Oh. We're not special.
No, I'm only doing this on a date.
Okay, which date?
Which date? What do you mean?
Yeah, like four. Is this like four dates in?
Honestly, the sooner the better because dates be expensive.
that's a good point.
I spent $25 on a drink on Friday night.
Whoa,
I was like, drink? I was like, wait, what? This is it was a $25 Paloma. What a night Friday was.
Friday was great. Yeah. Shout out to the listeners. A great time.
It really was. We had a blast. It was great to meet so many of you guys. I'm glad the air conditioning worked.
Yeah, it still nice. Got a little toasty at times, but like it was good.
I had a few.
Yeah.
I don't think I did anything bad. I'm looking around the room.
No, you're good.
Confirmation by silence. Got it.
No, you're good.
No complaints.
The awkward some of the listeners were very funny. Very, very complimentary, which I appreciate.
Say what you were about to say. Some of the listeners were what? What was that?
A little touchy-feely.
Oh, no. I know what you're talking about.
Got a lot of hugs at the end of the night. Especially when we went downstairs. Once we left the party and went down to the after party.
You know what, though? Like,
it was fun. I had a great time.
It was a great
ego boost. I won't lie.
There have been handsier listener moments. You know, I got a listener, and we love him. I'm not going to tell him, but this man felt my boob. Oh yeah, I'm not kidding. I was like, what? What is going on here? What is going on? Me too.
This wasn't on Friday. Right?
No, it wasn't on Friday. Okay. No, this was like a couple of years ago. It was like early on. I'd never met this person before, and I'm like, wow. Yo, hey.
Yeah, can't believe La Raza did that.
Yes. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. But it was a blast at the listener party. Yeah. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitter, at Galan Says, at Joe George Radio, at Shawnee Mapes Behind the Glass, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Astros need just one more win to clinch the American League West. And if you want to keep talking about that Texans debacle yesterday, you can stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We're seeing some of that here today. They're confident, even if he's not making a lot of plays.
Jones busting to the clear. Jones short of the goal line.
Game was over there. That was the bright side. I think there was 8-9 minutes left. Didn't really have to focus after that. Wasn't too long before we saw Davis Mills enter the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're talking about the three best Texans on Sunday. Stephon Diggs, Tim Settle, who had two sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Davis Mills might be number three.
Ooh.
Davis Mills wasn't bad on that drive. Now, he did almost have an interception in the end zone, but nah. I mean,
that was a perfect drive for me.
Yeah, because Sean and Brian had the under.
We had under 46 and a half. Sweating it at that last drive.
So bright side, at least you guys made money.
Yes, I profited off the Texans.
At the LaVerge, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I will say, though, there was a man.
I made money.
There was a Texans fan right in front of us who had the other side. He had the over.
He had the over.
And then at one point, he showed us his wager ticket.
Oh.
There was a comma in it. So we felt, you could tell there was some guilt from Sean specifically. Not as much BMAC.
Man. No, BMAC was right next to him.
BMAC was like, don't care. Skull. Trying to get his money. But this guy, you know, a larger, much larger wager than those guys.
Yeah.
Man, and I thought that my $25 Paloma was expensive.
No, that guy.
Tough day for him.
He's 3,000 lighter because of Davis Mills couldn't get that in the end zone.
Oh, he put $3,000 on.
Yeah. So there was a very like awkward dynamic as we were like, which is kind of why I love going to a sports book because you have that where like we were going head to head on the Colorado game the night before, me and Sean versus Brian. So it's always a good time. But yeah, I felt bad for that guy. So he would say Davis Mills, not good.
What's the worst stat of the day? 11 penalties for 88 yards. 5 sacks, the 2 interception number for C.J. Stroud, 14 carries for 38 yards. What's the worst?
Oh, that's a good question.
The penalties are the one that I'm focusing on because they had 12 last week. Come on. You can't have as many the next week, and I get it. It's loud there, and the NFL was trying to make an example of you, but I kind of get the NFL trying to make an example of Laremy Tunsil, who's kind of cheating all the time.
And also, like, if he's the biggest problem in the NFL, then that's why you're going to see them, if they actually are making an example, you know, like this, you know, in the NBA, if there's something that Draymond Green is doing and that the NBA says is a serious problem across the league, Draymond Green is someone that they might target a little more to try to show then to other teams, like, this is what you can and cannot do. So if that's what they're doing with Laremy Tunsil there, I kind of get it. Like, I kind of get why they're saying, hey, this is a serious problem that we are trying to address. And yes, we're not calling it evenly, because they're definitely not calling it evenly, even in these same games. But that is, it's got to be up there because it's a repeat of the previous week. That's definitely the worst stat.
There was a lot of today looking at the tape and saying, well, there could have been a penalty here, 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 and here. Neato, splendid. I just hate seeing that. I really do. They should have adjusted as the game went along. They should have had a serious conversation with these referees during one of the game stoppages about the illegal formations, if it was something that was bothering them so much. Juice Scruggs said that he didn't understand the false start. He moved his head a ton. That was clearly a false start. You can't dramatically move it to the degree that he did. Mm-hmm. So there was enough of that over the course of the game. You would have thought that they would have learned from last week, and it's the offensive line in particular. And right now, I mean, it's the most expensive part of the team, and it looks like the worst part of the team.
It's definitely the most disappointing part. I mean, I don't even know what would come close. Maybe it's Tank Dell comes close to being so disappointing this year, but the offensive line is just not good enough. So I would just say, like, collectively, those two things as a whole, the allowing the sacks and then the penalties, because one of them you should be able to fix. And like Will Kunkel just put out this tweet where he shows three separate plays, some from early in the game and then one of, that are not called for penalties and one that is. And while in theory these stills look exactly the same, mm-hmm. and you can question why is there no illegal formation being called on the first two, but there is on the third, like you just we don't know. But it's your job as a offensive line, as a coaching staff, whoever the offensive line coach is, to adjust. Like you can't let it keep happening. And the illegal formations are one thing. The false starts are different. Like I can give them a pass on the illegal formations because it's clear the refs don't know what to call and what they're calling all the time. You can't give them a pass for the false starts. Like it's just because that's on them. That's on Tunsil. Like that's on Scruggs. That's on you know whoever the other one was on when you got three in a row. Like that's on those guys. You got to clean it up. It's tough.
It is very tough. And, I mean, you just got to sit with this one, and you hope that on Sunday that it's the first game that the Texans can put together a complete 60 minutes. But they have not done it yet. They haven't. It's been a lot of stuff left on the field. Colts could have beaten them week one easily. Bears could have beaten them if they did anything offensively week two. You give them credit for the pass rush being what it was. You give Nico Collins a lot of credit, as the texter points out, for both of those guys. Like that's been the best things you've seen this year. But we have high expectations for this team. And this feels a lot closer to the team that we saw in the middle of last year than it feels like the team that we saw against the Cleveland Browns that we thought were going to take a step forward from that beatdown of Cleveland.
Yeah, this is closer to like the Jets game.
Yeah, very. It's worse, in fact. You had no expectations. In that game, sure, you expect to beat the Jets because they're quarterbacked by Zach Wilson, but I think most people were like, well, it's a young team. Things like this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
These don't get a pass anymore. And every team has a bad game. But bad games like this, where like from the second play on, it just seems hopeless.
Yeah, because it felt over early, right?
Yeah.
Like it just they didn't feel I think you do look back at the, you know, not to harp on it's one possession too much, but when you get to three false starts in a row, when it's a third and four and you're down by 14, and it puts you out of field goal range, essentially at that point, that's where it really felt the door had slammed shut to this football game. Because it's like if you convert the third and four and you score a touchdown in that drive, well, it's a one touchdown game, and like anything can happen. Maybe Sam Darnold gets a little more reckless with the ball. Maybe Aaron Jones can't run it as much, but it just
yep,
no bueno.
Do you want a fun little story?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we give date updates only when they might be things that we can laugh at me about.
Ooh.
So Saturday I went on a date.
Okay.
I thought it went pretty well. Just got a text from this person out of the blue.
Is this breaking news?
Breaking dating update.
Let me hear it.
Paul. How tall are you? LOL. It's a random question, though.
So
it's a random question.
So you have a couple ways to respond.
7 feet tall.
With the truth?
No.
Slight lie.
Just absolutely lie, huh?
Ignore. Or no, if you're willing to let this be totally over, and so I can see her response, ask her how much she weighs.
Whoa. Though that, for
I'm
a lot
saying.
Of people, that
I'm
is
saying.
Something they believe is in bounds.
If she could ask how tall you are, everything's in bounds.
Wow.
I'm just saying, Paul. I want to see her response.
She's in better shape than me, so I'm not going to ask her about her weight.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could give my answer, which legally, per the state of Texas,
yes.
I am 6 feet tall.
This is what you do. This is you cinder what it is on your driver's license. Maybe even like a zoomed in picture of your driver's license.
I like that.
You know, maybe take out any of the whatever numbers you're supposed to take out. But yes, I think you go official listed height at 6 foot.
All right, I'm going
because that's not a lie. That is your official height.
I'm just gonna respond.
It's not what you are in real life, but that's your
that's
what your official listed height is.
One time I was measured as 6 feet tall.
Mm. There we go. When it mattered.
and we're just never going to get it checked
at
again.
The DMV.
It wasn't even at the DMV. It was at like some sort of science thing. I forget what it was. It was like done by a college student, so probably inexact. We're a very tall 5'11". I'm one of the tallest 5'11" yeah. people of all time.
Mm. You carry it well.
I carry it. I am definitely 5'11". But my license says I'm 6 feet tall.
I think you have to say 6 feet tall.
All right. It's not a lie.
I'm just going to respond. My license says I'm 6 feet tall. Smirk emoji, eggplant emoji.
I would hold off on eggplant.
And no eggplant emoji.
Or just send the
just
Jerry
Jones. Just kidding. I sent a response. My license says I'm 6 feet tall.
You send the Jerry Jones clip.
I think it's.
Oh,
I think
no, it's do not send the Jerry
not
Jones
sending the
clip.
Jerry Jones clip. Not saying
that's a worse lie.
So the Twitch has, I respect the Twitch how just absolutely animalistic these people are. One of them says, ask her boob size. Guys, come on.
She's degrading you by asking your height.
She's just asking what my height is. She's curious.
No, she's curious.
Oh, she's just curious.
She said, just talking to my coworkers about you, all good things.
Hopefully she's not listening then.
You're also talking to your coworkers about how tall you are.
I am.
Just say.
Anyway, it is Galata George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is our breaking news date update.
Should we get a sound for that?
I think so.
Maybe. Oh, the Texans. They're 2-1 after a 34-7 loss. Who is most to blame? And can you take them seriously as a Super Bowl contender after a game like that? Galan and George, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.